Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to the Mac Effect. I really appreciate you guys tuning in like always. I'm so thankful, so appreciative for all the love that you guys continuously have given me and the channel, guys. I miss you guys. It was a while. We ended season three, and then we try to figure out, you know, what are we going to do for season four? And as we begin season four, guys, I just want to say I'm continuously praying and asking God, show me what is it that you want to bring. Show me what conversations you want to talk about. Who do you want to help? Who do you want to restore? What do you want to build? Because the truth is, we all need help one way or another. We were not made or designed to do life by ourselves. We were made to be in community. So with that being said, guys, as we kick off season four, I have a couple that is here with me that mean a lot to me, guys. It's someone that we have done life for a couple years, so they will definitely know a little bit about me. I know a little bit about them, but because you guys don't, I want to definitely show you guys the power of not only God, but when love and true commitment is, what can happen, right? So with that being said, guys, it's my honor, my privilege to introduce to you Mr. and Mrs. Aguilar. So this is my comadre Yari, and this is my compadre Luis. They are the padrinos to Jordan. I wanted to bring them into the Mac Effect, guys, because I know that every marriage has unique stories. I know that every marriage goes through their own battles. But yeah, I'm just grateful and thankful that you guys took the time to join me. So thank you guys for coming.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
A little nervous?
Yeah.
guys, well, before we begin, before I start digging into the deep questions, I like showing people a little bit about who you guys are, what's about your individual selves first before it becomes collectively. So I guess my question to start off is, whoever wants to go first, tell us a little bit about yourself.
You can go first.
All right. Well, my name is Luis Aguilar. I'm 30 years old. I've been married to my wife for almost 10 years. It's been up and down, but it's mostly been up, and I'm very happy, and I'm very happy with our two kids. We have a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old, Max and Ava.
All right, and what background do you have as far as what ethnicity are you from? Where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up in, like, Paramount.
City Paramount?
Yeah, I went to Paramount High.
Me too, bro.
My parents are Mexican.
Okay. From where? Michoacan. Los dos?
Yeah, both of them are from Michoacan. The both of them are from a little pueblo called Chalapan.
Okay.
It's a little like 30 minutes away from a main city called Uruapan.
All right. So we got a Michoacano in hand. Yeah. All right. Yari, what's up?
My name's Yari. Well, Yarixa. Technically Mesa, but Aguilar. I'm a hairstylist. I've been doing hair for 10 years, but also I've been with my husband for almost 13 years, but we have been married for almost 10 years.
Wow.
I think he basically summed it all up. You know, we have two kids. I'm also Mexican. My mom is from Sinaloa and my dad is from Chihuahua. Never met the guy, so should I really say I'm from Chihuahua?
Well, we could definitely dig into those questions. You just gave me some artillery right there. But before we get there, okay, where did you grow up in? What city?
I grew up in Huntington Park.
Huntington Park.
Yes, I was there pretty much my whole childhood. And then my senior year or my junior year of high school, my mom decided to move to Paramount.
Okay.
So we moved to Paramount and I finished off like a year and a half in Paramount.
Middle school.
No, high school.
Oh, high school.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, in high school. So I'm like, I finished school with no friends, pretty much.
I get it. I mean, a transition that late, yeah, I totally understand. Okay.
Yeah. But it was a needed thing for me. And thankfully, that's where I met my husband.
Why do you say it was a needed thing for you?
Because I feel like I was doing so bad in Huntington Park in the high school. And like, I was not passing. Like, there was no wanting to finish high school or anything like that. And I feel like going to a different school, and not that they force you, but kind of like they force you to be better. Uh-huh. So because I was still doing bad in Paramount High, they ended up sending me to a continuation school So where I was kind of forced to like finish school, get better so that I can get a high school diploma. So
got it.
That's that. I do feel like if I would have stayed in HP, I wouldn't have finished school.
Okay.
And because I moved, it kind of made me focus on my education.
Got it. And in continuation school or in high school was where you met this guy?
I met him in continuation school.
Nice. Los dos tontos canijos allí andan. No, I'm just kidding.
Literally, though.
No. I ask because, like, right now, as I'm hearing a little bit about your guys' backgrounds, one of the things I'm sure you guys have seen on previous episodes, it's like, it's a little challenging because I want to interview you guys as a couple, mm-hmm. but it like naturally in me,
yeah.
I want to dig into individually because I'm like, why were you doing bad? Like, was it the people around you? You know, was it just academically, you know, like the influence of a city, like, you know, so many different things, but we'll get to that either another time, or if we dig into it today, then we'll dig into it, but we'll see. Now, when you guys met each other, how old were you guys?
18.
Yeah.
And what caught your guys' attention?
You want to take that one?
Yeah, I'll take it. I want to be completely honest. I had a girlfriend at the time, but I wasn't like seeking to talk to her in a boyfriend girlfriend type of way with her. But I was going through some stuff. My grandma had just passed, and I think. Her genuine care for somebody else that she didn't know, like, attracted me. Mm. In a non-boyfriend-girlfriend way, I was just like, why does she care if she doesn't even know me like that? So she was like, well, how come you missed school for 2-3 days? How come you were out for so long? So that caught my attention, like, well.
Someone like, cares.
Someone other than a family member or somebody other than somebody that's, close to me that cares. I was like, well, why does she care? You know?
Yeah.
And from there, it got the ball rolling to our lives, our Christian lives.
Yeah.
So
you guys started discovering a little bit more about each other.
Yeah. So she said that something about a camp, Camp Cedar Crest. And I told her I went to that camp. And she opened her eyes like, what do you mean you went to that camp? That's a church going Christian camp. And I told her I was Christian. She didn't believe me because of the way I used to be in high school. Like, you would never think I was in church, that I played the drums in church. And you would never think that when I was in church, one person, and then outside of church, I was a different person. So I just think that her caring had a lot to do with being involved in church. And she was genuinely involved in church.
Yeah, yeah.
And she showed it in church and outside of church.
I like that. One of the reasons why I like bringing these conversations as far as like remembering the past is because in marriage, and you guys are a witness to it, is sometimes the light can become a little dull and you start thinking like, you know, was it like you get so used to the routine that you forget that naturally right now I felt it spiritually, like something in you was like, oh, dang, like I remember that flame. I remember the curiosity. I remember that. Now, my question goes directly to Yari. ¿De veras te preocupaba él o ya tenías intención tú allí de, like, me gusta este canijo?
No, and to be honest, a little backstory to that is I genuinely didn't want, like, a relationship because I had been going through, like, my own personal, like, issues before him. So I remember that he would, like, tried to get my attention a lot, and I was like, no, because I had asked God and I had talked to God and I had told him, like, the next man that you bring into my life, I genuinely want it to be someone that I'm going to be with for the rest of my life. Like, yeah. I don't want to continue being with people that are not worth my time and worth myself. So when he was trying to flirt with me, or when he was trying to, like, be with me, or I don't even think it was trying to be with me, I think it was just a teenage guy flirting with a teenage girl, and I don't know if you know that you want something so bad, or you know that something bothers you so much. So I feel like he knew that it bothered me that he would flirt with me so much, and he would just continue doing it. So I remember that it's not that I wanted to, like, go after him. It was more like, okay, what would Jesus do in that moment? Because I know, I knew what that had felt like, you know, to want somebody to care and nobody did.
Yeah.
So that was my genuine concern, because I'm like, dang, like this guy hasn't bugged me for like 3-4 days. Where is he? Like, what is he up to? Mind you, I didn't have his number. I didn't have like his Facebook at the time, you know, like we didn't have any of that communication. So when I did find out, or like what had happened and stuff, it was genuine care, because I'm like, he just took a big hit. His grandma just passed away. Mm-hmm. So even though I don't know what that feels like, I can only imagine. So I want to be able to be there for him, you know? And that's where, for me, it was not a connection that I was trying to have with him relationship wise. It was just a friendship wise, like, hey, I know, and not any of these guys that you hang around with are going to ask you how you're doing or if they really care about you, but I want to let you know that I care about you enough to ask you and invite you to church. And, you know, maybe that's where God was going to pull him in. And if I could have been that vessel, then why not?
Yeah.
But genuinely, it was not because I wanted to. Yo nomás
estoy queriendo acercarlo a ti, Dios. Yeah. No conmigo, pero si me conviene. Nah, I'm just kidding. But right now I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Right now that she said that if she can be the vessel, I can tell you that you were. Yeah. So look at us now.
Mm-hmm. That's where our public goes, what a cuddly teddy bear. Yeah. Now that's beautiful, bro. I think it's very important to acknowledge things that each of you do well, because we do live in a world where it's quickly easy to criticize, like, why'd you do that? And why'd you do this? Why'd you do that? But when you say uplifting words like that, like, you did a great job that time, or you did, you know, you were the reason why this happened, or you're the reason why this marriage is working, you didn't give up. When you do those things, you're motivating to keep going. So that's awesome. So, and again, as I'm hearing this, one of the things I want to point out, guys, is we're all broken. I've shared this in the past many, many times. We're all broken. Like Yadi just said right now that she already knew she was going through her own personal stuff. Luis was going through his own personal stuff. They have baggage, whether they see it or they don't see it. But they're, at the end of the day, like human beings, it's like a lot of our relationships, right? Like you, without knowing, you're trying to find someone, or maybe you're not looking, but it just comes along the way, and then something happens and it becomes a marriage, and then before you know it, you're in a marriage, but you're also working on yourself, but you're also working on your marriage. You guys have been married for 10 years, 2 kids now, and we'll get to the other details later, because I remember in dating, guys, I walked with them for so many, many years. Like, I would pick this guy up from his house to take them to church and sometimes drop off Yadi. And me and Jackie were the carpool people that would pick up a bunch of youth and drop them off. So I saw them as kids, and now I'm seeing them as adults. I saw one of their fights, and we had to look for individuals because where the heck are they and all this stuff. But because at that time, in those moments, it just does feel like that's the end of the world. Because we're so young, we don't know, we're naive, there's a lot of things. But what, after all those things that happened, like, what made you guys say, you know what, I think this is the right person to marry? Like, this was the decision that I want to make. Like, the question that I'm asking is, how did you know after all those things that you guys went through, because you guys went through your ups and downs while you're dating, how did you know to say, this is the woman that I am choosing to, that I want to marry? And yes, this is the man that I'm going to say yes to and I want to marry. Whoever wants to go first.
I think, like I said earlier, there has been more ups than downs, a lot more ups than downs. Unfortunately, the downs make a statement more, because you have so few of them that you can actually like remember them more. But I know that we have more ups.
Give me a second. I love what you just said there, because Weebs, I call him Weebs, guys. It's our friendship, but I just feel Holy Spirit. Like I'm really praying and I'm asking God, and you hit something right now that just hit me really hard, because if you guys paid attention, he said what happens is there's a lot of good that happens, but because the bad happens here and there, and sometimes it's a little bit more impactful. Like, you just feel like, oh my God, it's all bad. But in reality, it's not. It's just, that was a bad moment. There's so many other good moments. And that's where the enemy tries to hide it, portray it in a way where it's like, no, it's just better to, we'll get down to the road of letting it go and all that, but keep going, bro. I really like that point because it spiritually it hit me like, yeah, we're so accustomed to like one thing goes bad and it throws the whole thing off. So keep going. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I think we already were establishing something like we want to get married. We just obviously I needed to pop the question, stuff like that. Because, I mean, she went to beauty school. I was working. I'm not going to say I helped her put it to beauty school because I didn't. She did it completely on her own. But my little income helped a lot for us to, like, do stuff, go on dates, go on outings and stuff like that. And then she graduated. She got offered a job. She took it. And we kind of built it from there, huh? We started, like, saving our money, knowing it just felt like, okay, we're meant to be together. Let's start building something until it had to be on me, right, to pop the question. And I something in me said, like, I know she's not going to say no. Like, we're meant to be together. Like, there's been a lot of things that have pointed to us being together. So, yeah, I finally made the decision. I talked to my sister. Well, at the time, I was living with my sister and my mom. I talked to them, and they gave me the like, do it. We will help you in whatever you want. And yeah, I think I was like 19 years old when I popped the question. We
got 19.
Like we no, got, I think you were a little bit older.
I was 19
when you asked the question.
Yeah, we got married when I was 20. Mm-mm. Oh no, 21. Sorry, I was 20. And then we got married at
the... You see, bro, 21. This is the perfect example that the women know. Sometimes you were like, no, it was 19. You know, it was 19, and it's like, no. Oh, no, my wife was right. It was 20.
And then you're still wrong. What? Because we started dating at 18, 19, and then we didn't get married till four years later. So I got married at 23 or 24.
Oh, wow.
So definitely not 19 and 20.
Okay, all right. Well, this is why, again, we need our wives, bro, because sometimes check us in our dates and be like, not this. But, okay, I get it. I
asked her like 2 days ago, am I turning 30 or 31?
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, you're turning 31.
Okay, all right. And Yadi, same question. How did you know to say yes? Like, he knew you were going to say yes, but why is that? Like, why is it that he knew? Like, why did you say yes at the end to say yes to him?
I think for me, it was very much a lot of the sacrifice that I saw in him. You know, we were so young. I mean, you look back and you're like, what are 19-year-old, 18-year-old doing now, you know? But I look back and I'm like, dang, like, besides asking God, which is the number one thing where I was like, I want to date somebody that it's dating to marry. It's not dating just to mess around.
Pay attention. You guys heard that? You date to marry. I agree with that, though. It's just unfortunately the world we do live in.
Yeah, yeah. And I do look at everything that we had built to the point that we got married, you know, whether if it was me going to school and him finding a job and everything that we were growing. And fun fact, you know, he was not even allowed inside my house until we got married.
Oh, wow.
So we dated for
four. We got engaged.
Yeah, so we got engaged.
You were wrong.
Yeah. Hey, that's why God gives us the husband too. No, I'm just kidding.
Literally the next day after we got engaged.
So like our dates were very much like if he went to go visit me at my house, we were outside the house. We were, you know, talking outside the house. We would talk for hours. And again, it does sound like little kid stuff, you know, like that's what you do when you're young. You do the stuff that you can do when you're an adult. But I do remember that as we were progressing into our relationship, I was like, well, what are we waiting for? Like, we're not going to know what's on the other side until we get to the other side. And thankfully, you know, I was already into my career and I was like, well, we can afford a wedding. We can afford to get married. It doesn't have to be something big. It can just be something that we can do together. And marriage was always a big thing for me. Like, I knew I wanted to get married. I knew I wanted a wedding. I knew that it was something that I wanted to do for myself. So I didn't want to just continue being in a relationship for 8-10 years and never get married. So for me, it was much like, and I remember asking and telling him, like, we're 4 years in, like, what are we waiting for? Like, how much longer is it going to be? And I never felt like I was rushing him into the marriage. I think it was just more like, we can build something out of this. But I feel like, unfortunately, te acostumbras también tanto that you're like even now, like people can date for 8-10 years. And then they're like, well, what's really the point of marriage? Yeah, you know?
Correct.
So for me, it was like, we're still young. We want to build a family. We want to build it together. Why not just do it? Let's go all in or nothing. And I remember that one of the reassurances for me was, because I remember, and I've let you watch this, I'm sorry. I remember when I was joining his family, like when I would come around his family would always tell me, like, if you're going to be part of this family, you have to do this. If you're going to be part of this family, like, you have to learn to do this. And I'm like, that's a lot of pressure. But I remember that when I asked her, like, hey, like, does your brother see a future with me or not? And then she was the one that would tell me, like, he does. Like, he wants to do it. It's just he doesn't know how. Or, like, you know, we see the bigger picture to the financial part of it. Like, can we afford to actually live separately, live on our own? I have never lived outside my mom's house. I had never lived with a guy. Like, I had never done any of that. So the real stuff where I was like, I'm ready to do this with you, was like, I couldn't see it with anybody else. So I was like, let's build a family together. Let's build a home together.
Yeah.
And that's where I saw my green light was I didn't see, ya no miraba, like, oh, we're going to date for 8 years. No, I wanted to start building a family.
Yeah. And the reason why I'm asking these questions and we're putting this information out there for other relationships, other people that are either barely dating or have been dating for many years. This isn't judgment on any relationship saying, why are you guys just together for 8 years and haven't married already? You guys are in sin, pecadores. Like, it's none of that, guys. It's if it's hitting and if it's resonating, and that means it's waking something up. That means the Holy Spirit is doing something. It's telling you that life just shouldn't be going this way. That's the whole point of the Mac Effect, is growth, challenging yourself, challenging individuals around you, healing so that you can have a better and blessed life. So as we're hearing these conversations, you also have to be asking, what am I supposed to be taking from this, right? Even if you're not married, you're like, well, they're married. Like, this is not an episode for me. It absolutely is, because you can start looking for things that maybe at that time you just overlook, that now you're like, no, those are red flags that I'm going to be paying attention to, or those are green lights that I can know that's where you move on. There's a couple things that I've heard from both of you guys that one day I hope we can go into a little bit deeper. I don't want to touch it too much, but I say it because I see it a little bit more obviously in Luis, because as a man, you know, a comment that I heard you say right now is, you know, she was working, I was working, and my little bit of money. It hits me, bro, because as a man, I know what it feels like when the woman makes more money. We live in a world where masculinity wants to make you feel like, well, you're not enough. At least with me. I'm not saying this is you. I'm saying me. Where you try to make yourself little, and it's like, no. Because the truth is, if it was God's plan, it doesn't matter who makes more or who makes less. But the world wants to put that. And I hate that, because it ate me up for years, bro. It's one of the reasons why we separated in our first marriage, because it was killing me that it's like people are looking at it like that. And the truth is, I was the one working most of the time in the first marriage. That it was very scary for me and Jackie this second marriage around for me to stay home, because our old trauma was like, híjole, we're going to fight again. We're going to go. But it was a healing that took place in me that I was like, no, I know the value that I offer. I know the man that I am. I know what I'm putting into this family. So the income might look in the taxes as zero, but the income that you're putting into your marriage is like unlimited, bro. Like, I can go deeper into that, and maybe one day we will, but I just wanted to quickly share that with you, because I don't ever want you to think like, or I don't know, maybe if I'm crossing the line or not, but I don't ever want you to think like you're less than, because the world's going to make it want to seem like that, but it's not.
Yeah.
I guess, well, actually touching it, have you ever felt like that?
Back then it was my first job and I was working part-time and stuff like that. So that's why I said it was little money, because it was like my first job, my first time actually building something to get to have a goal to marrying somebody.
You know? Yeah. No, but my question is,
but now,
did you ever feel, have you ever felt less of a man because of that?
No.
No? Well, then kudos to you, bro.
Was there comments? Yes. But I don't think I've ever let it get to me, because my dad has taught me, like, cualquier trabajo es trabajo.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, I love that. You're making minimum wage or you're making a lot of money.
Yeah.
My dad implemented that in me, is like, work, and if you're gonna be doing something like cleaning floors or something, do it good. And whether if you're making a lot of money or not, because a job's a job.
Oh, I love that. I love that. That's awesome. And again, I say that's good because we're all different, right? For you, it didn't affect you. For me, it did. But this is why we're all here trying to connect and say, hey, this is how it goes. Yadi, did it ever bother you that he would make less or no?
No. When we were younger, I actually, like, respected it so much because, like he said, he had a part-time job. And at the time, I was going to beauty school. So I still had not built my career. So I remember
I was still in high school too.
He was like making like maybe $200 every 2 weeks. So it's like, and I, as a girlfriend, it was always like, well, I want to go do this and I want to go do that. But I wouldn't be so scared to ask my mom for money because, you know, you're like, nah. Pues, and I knew she was going to be like, si quieres salir, you know, like, y quieres tener novio, pues, you know, que le cueste, you know. So I do remember like he would be like, I can only imagine because I didn't have a job that young. Where he would get his paycheck and then literally la agarraba and he would waste it on us. And then I'd be like, dang, like, okay, well, we would have to wait another 2 weeks, you know? So those are little things that I know that he sacrificed a lot to, like, we're now the bigger picture. I'm like, I don't forget that. I don't forget you spending your $200 on us going to the movie to satisfy your girlfriend, right? To, like, let's go to the movies, let's go out to eat or whatever. Yeah. And then once I did get my job and once I was able to, you know, make a little bit of money, because, you know, you become a hairstylist and it's not like, oh, all this money is falling from the sky. You have to build it. And I remember one thing, and I'm never, ever going to forget, is that he was always there. Like, he was always rooting for me. I remember when I got my first job as a makeup instructor, and we both didn't, we didn't have a car, so we would bus it. I lived in Paramount, and we would bus it to HP. And so that I didn't bus it by myself, he would go with me and then bus it back.
Yeah, yeah.
So those are things that I'm like, I know that he sacrificed so much when we were in the beginning of the relationship, where if he wouldn't have done that, like, no, I don't think it would have made it through. I think if he would have shown a different person then, we wouldn't be where we are now. So when the money did start coming in, I'm like, oh, it's not just for me. Like, now we can do something every week, because now it's not just biweekly that we can do stuff. Now we can go to the movies every week if we wanted to. Yeah,
that's awesome.
So it was things like that where I'm like, I understood the sacrifice that he made. And also I remember he was also paying rent. And I'm like, how are you paying rent off your little bit of income that you're receiving? But I get it.
Yeah,
I understood, you know, later on I understood. But it was much necessary for him to build as a man, where it made, now I'm like, it's not on what you make. It's on what you do and what you sacrifice that's going to make it for us.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. So, I it never bothered me what he made, because el lo que hizo, lo dio todo.
Yeah, yeah.
So, that's where I can respect him for that.
That's awesome.
I kind of want to retract what I said, that it didn't bother me. Because you asked, like, did it ever make you feel less than? I think in times, so I want to retract that. Like, it probably did, but I didn't. I noticed it, but I didn't express it. Maybe because I wasn't thinking about it until she said something about us going out and stuff like that. So I remember, like, there was times where I'd get paid, and I'd get paid on Thursday, and I mean, we'd go to church and we'd go out with either me and Yadi or you guys. But then the following week, I didn't have money and we couldn't go.
Yeah.
So that did make me feel like, dang, like, a little bit less than. So yeah, I'll retract my statement by saying, no, it didn't make me feel like that. So, yeah, it made me feel like that sometimes.
I hear you. I hear you. I don't think that has to do with her making more, though. I think that one was just more you, like, not feeling like you were providing enough, like, as a man. Yeah. And I get it. I get it. Because there's times where I think that, or I used to think that. But I get it. Okay. My next question is, you guys are married. Like every married couple, then you start thinking about a family. And then you start thinking, man, I want kids. Like, I'm assuming, because again, we've done life, right? So you see Jackie, me, and you're like, well, they had a baby. They had two now. Oh man, they have three now.
They have a soccer team.
That, you know, and other people at churches too, right? Yeah. Like other couples that were having kids, because, you know, we're growing, all of us are growing together. Did you guys ever start having I'm sure you guys did, because you guys do now, but, you know, how were those conversations with you guys? Like, hey, I think this is the time to start a family. Like, how did that come about?
I don't think that we ever had that conversation of like, oh, it's time to start a family. I think that we just knew we wanted to build a family.
You guys would just do the homework.
Yeah, pretty much. Well,
even before we got married, we kind of were like, well, we're going to wait like a year or two. Mm-hmm. We try to wait the 2 years, but... I
mean, lo platicaron un poquito.
Yeah, before we got married, like, got we kind of want to travel a little bit.
So after the year, you guys were like, all right, that's it. A pegar chicle.
It just happened.
Yeah, and I think it happened even before the year, to be honest. We got married in January, and in July, around that time, we did get pregnant. And then in September, we had a miscarriage. So we were really excited because we're like, okay, well, like, we got married. Like, the whole plan was coming along. We're like, yes, like, okay, well, we are going to have a baby. And then, unfortunately, you know, we did have a miscarriage. And then even after the miscarriage, you're like, okay, well, we don't want to lose hope. Like, we're still going to be parents. And I remember that we were trying for like a while, and I was like, okay, well, what's happening? You know, what's going on? Like, why are we not getting pregnant as fast as we did with the first baby? With the first baby. And I remember that once I decided to like give it to God and be like, it's no longer in our control. That's when I found out that I was pregnant with Max. So and then that happened maybe about 9 months after I had my miscarriage.
Okay. How far along were you when the miscarriage happened?
I was 3 months pregnant.
3 months. Mm-hmm. Okay. I kind of want to touch a little bit because I discussed it in last season a little bit with my cuñada Chiquis, and I asked her, you know, how did that go? How did you feel? And more than anything, I know women are very vocal. Like, I feel like women do communicate a lot with themselves. Like, you know, I don't know if you had support at that time, people around you. The one I talked to a little bit more was Emilio. And I definitely want to ask Luis, like, when that situation happened, how did you feel? What was running through your mind when that happened? Was it a big deal? Was it not a big deal? Like, I just genuinely want to know.
Yeah, it was a big deal. I think it impacted my life, our life. I didn't know what to do because you don't know what to do in those situations. Like, I know that it wasn't happening to my body, so I kind of like was worrying more for her and her well-being. But if you're talking about like an emotional aspect, 3 months of knowing, man, you're gonna have a baby in 6 months from that time, it's like, okay, like, you're wondering already if it's a boy, if it's a girl, you're already thinking about names and stuff like that.
Ya te estás haciendo ilusiones.
Yeah. So I had my emotions. And I was like ready to, like, not, I don't think you're ever ready to be a dad, but I was like ready to start learning how to be a dad. Mm-hmm. So when that happened, it kind of just, I think that was one of our first big impacts in our marriage to where it really tested us. Because while I was going through my emotions, I also had to worry for her because physically she's like going through something. So I focused more on her at that time. I think it's the after part where it really resonates in your life, because I didn't question God at the time, but after a little while, after like, because it was 9 months, the gap, like in the fourth or fifth month, I was just like, well, whatever you want to do, you know, like, if you want to let me be a dad, let me be a dad. If you don't, then don't. Like, like, it was more of a do whatever you want, not I want you to do this for me, God. So it was more of a, like, out of rencor, I was like, do whatever you want. So.
I get it. The reason why I ask is because, I'm going to ask you, Yari, how you felt as well. But, like, I just, again, it's just Holy Spirit what I feel right now. It's like, I feel like sometimes the man gets overlooked. Like, everyone's like, Yari, how do you feel? How do you? And, like, who was there to say, bro, what do you need? Yeah. Bro, how are you going through? Because as men, I totally get you, bro. It's like, there's no time for me. I need to be there for her. Right. Like, I don't have the time to, like she said, I it's her body. Like, yeah, it's our baby. It's your guys' baby. It's not just hers. But And I get it, right? Because it's like, as a man, of course, you have to shut it down. It's not about you. It's about her. But at some point, I don't know. I guess what I'm trying to say, Holy Spirit-wise, it's like if the woman also can at some point just be like, you know what? Thank you, God. I hope you protect him and heal him in those areas, because we're so consumed with this situation that we sometimes forget. Because that's the reason why I wanted to ask a man, because, and I asked Emilio, because I'm like, what does one go through? And sometimes you don't even get to process it because you were so busy reacting than truly thinking of what went on. What was going through your mind, Yadi, when you went through that? How did it make you feel? How does it make you feel now, actually?
It's crazy because I feel like we haven't talked about it for a very, very long time. I know. It's when you go through something, right? You heal from it. Even though you don't forget it, you're like, okay, pues ya lo superé type of thing. As I was going through, what's crazy is that, you know, I knew that my body was already rejecting the baby. So I already knew it was coming.
Oh, wow.
So wait,
how did you know, if you don't mind me asking?
The doctors let you know.
You
can either let it happen naturally or you can do a DNC where they take the baby out. And for us, it was like, well, no, if I'm still believing God is going to do a miracle. And I feel like for me, it was like, no, I believe it. I believe that God's going to do something. I believe that God's going to do something. Like, God's going to do something. And it was very much like that. And for when it did happen, it actually, my miscarriage started at church. So that was a hard part for me, because I'm like, I'm here praying for a miracle. And then I'm starting the process of going to my miscarriage. So then I was like, all right, well, let's go home. You know, the pastors did pray for us. And now I understand that it's different than just wanting the miracle. It wasn't just that, you know, if my body needed to go through what it went through, then it had to. And when I did go through my miscarriage, it was like I was giving birth at home. And that was a hard part for me, because I remember my mom was there and my sister, my cousin that had gone through it were there with me. And it's pretty much you're going through the pain for no reason.
Yeah.
Type of thing. Like you're going through it and for no reason. Like there's no expectation out of it other than you're no longer going to have a baby inside of you. So that was really hard. I remember I would yell at my mom and I'm like, I'm never giving you grandkids, because I was feeling birth. So I was like, I'm never giving you grandkids. And she's like, be quiet. You don't know what you're saying. And I'm like, no, this just hurts too much. But I think there I was fighting a war between my body and also spiritually, because I was like, God, really, like, why are you making me go through this? Like,
I go to church. Yeah, I serve.
Yes, exactly. Like
I get there early. We set up sound. We like
we all just these got off the altar worshiping you, and I'm going through my miscarriage now. Like, really? I get it. But you know, once you go through the process, and you go through that, I did go through a very like depressing stage where I'm like, well, like what's supposed to happen after this? Like, am I supposed to be hopeful for another baby? Like, is this going to happen? Because I think fear takes over you.
Absolutely.
Like, you're like, is it going to happen again? Because I don't want it to happen again. Sorry. So I think that in the 9 months that I was waiting for Max to happen, I had to go through a lot of healing process because I was really mad at God.
How'd you get out of it?
I remember one day Luis had to go. Well, we both had to go to church. And I told him that I wanted to stay home because I was really mad at God, that I didn't want to go to church. And I remember staying home. Thank you. Staying home, at that time we were in our apartment. And I remember I was in my room and I was just crying. And it was like a cry of like agony. I don't know if that's the correct word, but I was just crying to God and telling like everything that I had felt. Because I feel like sometimes we feel things, but we don't say them out loud, whether if it may be to God or to a person. And I remember that day, I just let God know all the feelings that I was feeling, everything. Even if I was mad, every pain that I was feeling, I let God know that. And it was like this weight was lifted off my shoulders. Like literally, I felt like I just needed to let, because you go to church and you have to have this facade of like, you're fine. So I think that me staying home and having that moment with God was so much necessary that I had it. I felt this weight off my shoulders. I stopped worrying about getting pregnant. And when I did find out I was pregnant, I was already like 6 weeks pregnant. So I was like,
wow.
Oh, okay. So that was that. I think with Max came healing too. Like being hopeful, right? Like hoping that you're gonna have a baby. So being pregnant, I was like, okay, well, I can do this. I can act. But throughout my whole pregnancy with Max, I was so scared. I was so scared throughout the whole pregnancy. And I was like, I remember I was like, I need to hear his heartbeat. I need to see him move. I need to, like, there was just so many like things that I was like, I want to make sure that everything is fine. And
I could imagine even like you walking into a doctor visit, you're naturally like, shit, what are they going to tell me?
Yeah.
They're about to tell me bad news.
Yeah.
Like Yadi, I'm feeling it. Like everything that you're saying. And again, I share it because I want people to see when you're in your lowest, I've been in that same shoe, Yadi, in that same place, similar place where I am cussing God out. Mm-hmm. I'm being honest. I am. I'm like, God, what the F are you doing? Mm-hmm. What's going on? I thought you said this and this and this. So I get that. And then it's just weird. But when you're saying it out, it's like, God, I almost want to cry right now because it's like, even in those moments when you're treating God so bad, he still has his arms open and he's still telling you, I love you though. Mm-hmm. You don't understand, but I still love you. And I feel like that love pushed you. And then it's like, boom, here comes Max. But then the fear comes in, a doctor visit. Oh my God, how many months? 4 months. And it's like, okay, we beat the threshold of the previous one, but we still have to be careful. Like I could imagine.
Yeah.
But Max comes, guys. Mm-hmm. And Max comes and family, obviously, very happy. You guys are about a year and a half into your marriage, right? When Max?
Yeah.
Year and a half. And what happens the day that he's born?
Everybody's there. I don't think anybody has ever had a waiting room that packed of people. I think the day that Max was born was one of like the one of the happiest days in my life because you get to see one what you are capable of doing. It made me see him in a very different a point of view because as a partner he was great, as a husband he was doing so good, but now like as a my support system as like him becoming a father had been very, very like, oh my gosh, like I don't know. For me, it was crazy to see him go through birth with me. But yeah, everybody was there. And I remember I was in labor for 4 days. And
4 days. And, my goodness.
And everybody wanted to come and see the baby. And I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. I don't care.
Yeah. How was it for you, bro?
It was because we kept going and they kept sending us back from the hospital. Kept going to the hospital. Send us back for like 4 days. Until I think it was like a Monday morning because we were going the weekend. Yeah, we missed church and stuff.
I think you guys missed church for a valid reason, bro.
Yeah. Sawanto, she's like, I'm not going to go back to the hospital. I'm going to go on Monday morning to my doctor's office and have her refer me because I need to stay in the hospital because it hurts. It's painful. So, yeah, we went and the lady's like, you need to go to the hospital now.
I was already at 7.5 centimeters.
Yeah, Ashley, you need to go to the hospital now. And we went. They took us in right away. And yeah, I mean, nothing ever prepares you for childbirth or becoming a dad or becoming like somebody's father, you know, or somebody's mother.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I kind of knew how to change a diaper, but it was like kind of weird that you want to, your first child, is like you treat him like
he's porcelain,
you know? And you see the doctors like flipping him around, stuff like that. And we're like, what the
heck? Hey, calmado. Yeah.
And then it was just a surreal thing because they grabbed him, they put him on a little weigh table, and I watched the whole thing, and it's surreal. It's something that I feel like every dad, every person who becomes a father and that is there to witness that, it's a feeling that you can't explain. I feel like everybody has a different feeling towards that. But
absolutely, yeah. Okay. And well, with that being said, I also want to step into my next questions with a lot of love, with a lot of delicate, with a lot of Respect. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want it to come off disrespectful in any way or in any form. I just simply want, like, there's reasons why we go through what we go through, and I know there's stories, and God wants to do something some way, somehow, that I don't understand. But as Max grows up, you guys start noticing that he's not growing up the same way as other kids are growing up. I want to ask you guys, when did you guys start asking yourself the question, like, is this real, or was there moments that you're trying to play it off? Like, no, there's nothing wrong with him. Like, he's fine.
I think when he was one and he wasn't walking yet, he was crawling, but he wasn't really walking yet. We kind of like, were like, well, why isn't he walking? And family and friends and doctors were like, well, just give it time.
I was going to say, I'm like, 1 year old, bro. Yeah. I'm like, I think but Jenna didn't start till 13 or something like that.
Yeah.
But I get it.
So we were just like, oh, is he walking yet? No.
But even then, at one, he got a surgery.
Yeah. But at 1 year old.
He had a surgery?
He had a surgery.
Okay.
He had a webbed toe.
Oh.
So his.
That's right.
Pinky toe and the other toe. He had
an extra little
cartilage there. And they weren't going to do anything. And then they took an x-ray and there was like cartilage that was going to grow. As he was growing, and it was going to affect him, and it was going to hurt him. So they put a cast on him right when he was, I think, barely learning how to stand on the couch and stuff. So he had a cast on him. And then I think he had it for, like, what, 6 months? Mm-hmm. So they took off the cast, and then he started walking little bit by little.
Like a year and 8 months. Yeah. He was, like, pretty big. And he's a big boy, so he looked like he was, like, almost three. Nah, just kidding.
Siempre ha sido grande. El Max siempre ha sido grande.
So then... he kind of didn't walk, or he wasn't like walking. He would walk fast. He wouldn't run. Little things like that. So we asked the doctor about that. They referred us to to go back and get x-rays for his toes. But after what, 2 years, 3 years?
No, he was already. I think in the time where he was learning how to walk, we also didn't. We started not noticing him, like, saying, like, mama or papa. Like, there was no, like, verbal part of it where I was like, okay, you know, you hear, like, he'll get there. And I'm like, okay. Honestly, because it trips me out because he turned 2 in January. And I think maybe in September of the year before, we had decided that we were going to try for another baby. Because we're like, we don't want him. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's why he's not talking, because he's not growing up with any other kids. Because in my family, there's no little kids. And in his family, there's no little kids. So we were like, well, we're going to be the only ones responsible for that. So let's start trying. In that, let's start trying, I actually do get pregnant. So when I was maybe about like 4 months pregnant and he had turned like 2 and 2 in a month or whatever, that's when we started doing a lot of testing. Like they started sending him to, I think I went through the regional center. We started doing a lot of research where... we knew that something was different, but we just didn't know what. And we didn't know if he was just nonverbal. We didn't know if it was just he was delayed. Like, there was a lot of questions where we didn't know what it was or what the answer was going to be. Mind you, all of this, I'm still going through my own pregnancy. Sorry. We were trying to figure out both. We were trying to welcome in a new baby, but also trying to give Max as much attention as we could.
No, and as I hear you guys, like, the thing that, like, I just, it's so much, right? Like, we're not going to be able to condense it in an hour or whatever to discuss, because it's all your lives. Like, as we're speaking it right now, I really feel, again, spirit-wise, like, you guys haven't thought about it in a while. You're so busy caught up doing life that I really feel spiritually at some point, guys, you guys have to write it out, relive it again. And certain things either let go or certain things embrace, certain things accept, because it's things that I've gone through too with myself, with other stuff, right? But like, I get it. Like I hear you, Yadi, and you said earlier, you're like, man, I haven't talked about it in a while. Like, you kind of forget that you even went through that, but that's naturally what our bodies try to do with past traumas, is we try to forget them, when in reality, we just have to embrace them. Because the truth is, Yadi and Luis, both of you, losing a baby, there's other couples out there that is causing their marriage to go to crap. And you guys can be front runners to say, look, we know that it sucks. We know you want to stay home and just cry and cuss the heck out of God. We know you have to stop thinking of yourself and step up for your wife because we don't have time for you. I know what that feels like. And I know people are listening right now and they're already like feeling that, like, dang, like he's hitting it, because that's the Holy Spirit. You guys did not go through that pain to not be able to help others. That pain has purpose. Now, it could just be pain and you just leave it there. Yeah. Or you can make that pain have purpose, and that purpose is going to be to help other people out. So right now when you're saying that, I'm like, guys, there's so much, right? Like there's so much. You're trying to figure things out with Max. Then Ava comes, and two beautiful kids. I'm going to ask you guys if you guys can please send me a picture, because I want to put it right there right now so people can see your beautiful family. And as you're growing your family now, and I know that Max, I don't even know what he either has been diagnosed or not been diagnosed. Cause that's something that, you know, I don't know if as friends, you just like, you don't want to hurt anyone's feelings or what have you, but, has there been moments where with your family that you like, I don't know, again, with respect, like, have you guys ever gotten mad at God saying, like, why'd you give me kids? Or why'd you give me Max like this? Or, like, have you guys ever gone through something like that? Like, ask that question or no?
Yeah, 100%. As human, you know, like, you question God. You don't question his existence. But you question the why. Like, you promised me a son, you know? And I don't really get emotional about past things. Because I'm like, why do I want the past? And like, with stuff I've gone through way past, I get emotional on that now. I get emotional because I did question God, but now I know that he has a purpose.
Yeah, amen.
I've always known he has a purpose, but it's just, again, I've been in church my whole life. I've served on the worship team with the youth. And not that I was ever in denial that Max is speech delayed or that he did that. I just didn't want to. I just was like, I'm still hoping for the miracle. So now that we're living it, I'm more like, this is my son. Todavía lo regaño como si fuera un niño regular, like normal. I still discipline him the way I should, you know? Like, I'm not going to treat him any different. Yeah. I tell her sometimes, she's like, babe, like, sometimes he's a little kid, like he has his disadvantages. I'm like, but if I can discipline him and if I can get him prepared for the world, because the world is cruel. So if I can get him prepared for that, then like he's not going to have a problem. But I am hoping for a miracle. I'm still praying, you know.
I think adding on top of that, you know, where have we ever questioned God? I think for me, it was really hard because along came Ava, right? And Ava had a lot of problems too. Ava had a heart condition. She had a back condition. She had a lot of things. She has like, on her face, she has no mobility on part of her face, on her, part of her mouth. So we were barely going through the effect of what Max was going through. And then when we were given Ava, we got hit with the, she has so many other conditions that were like, are you kidding me? Like, I really was like, are you kidding me? Mind you, in the moment, you're not thinking about that, but you are. You're like, I haven't even taken the hit of Max because mind you, he was only 2.5. So I'm like, I fully don't even know what's going on with my son, and I'm given something with my daughter. So I'm like, what? So again, this was also when we were going through COVID. So every doctor's appointment, everything, I had to do by myself. So she has a hearing loss on one ear, so she has to wear a hearing aid. So when they gave me that, it's a bit, she was like 7 months when they told me this. I was like, wait, what? She has hearing loss and it's not fixable and she's going to have to wear a hearing aid for the rest of her. That's something big to take in too. So I was very much like, that's when I started questioning God, because I was like, what? We lose a baby. We have a nonverbal son. And now we have a daughter that has so many other conditions that we're going to have to take care of for the rest of our lives. And I'm like, what's next? So I questioned God a lot. I asked God a lot, like, why did you make us parents then? And the moment. Now I look at my kids and I look at the whole picture and I'm like, I wouldn't want it any other way. Wow. I wouldn't want it any other way, because I do feel that we went through that. And that's the bigger picture, right? Like, I look at our marriage and I'm like, the little things don't matter. The superficial stuff doesn't matter. The stuff that this world wants to put on you doesn't matter. Yeah. I'm like, that's the bigger picture. It's us fighting for this family that we wanted at 18 years old that is worth it. And it hasn't been easy, and it doesn't mean that we haven't had other attacks. You know, we have. But the bigger picture is that is we build a family that God has been the foundation, no matter how sturdy it's been, or I mean how long it's done this for. I'm like, and you know, we still go through it. We're still trying to figure out what's going on with Max.
He doesn't have like a exact diagnosis.
Yeah.
So we're still trying to, like, cause there's a spectrum for autism. Yeah. And he's like on the borderline of not being autistic, but he has like
an intellectual disability. That's what they call it for now. But he's still nonverbal, so he doesn't talk. He'll be 7 in January. He does have a lot of, like, sensory needs and stuff like that. So there's a lot of things that they do want to put him on the autism spectrum, which we're actually working on right now, because once he has a diagnosis, then it's easier for us to get him therapies and things like that. Yeah. But I do want to say, like, I remember in my life, in our 13 years of marriage or of relationship, there's been 2 times that I've asked God, that I've talked to God the way I did. And it was when I had my miscarriage, and it was when I found all this out about my kids. And I remember that I was in a really bad state this last time, to where I didn't even realize I was so depressed that there was no, like, I saw no hope. I saw nothing. Like, I was numb to everything. And I remember that Luis would not even know this. Luis had no idea that I was going through this, because I was so good at covering it up. But I remember that I would go in the shower, I would go in the bathroom, and I would just cry and cry and talk to God and gritarle a Dios. Like, I was like, God, this is so unfair. This is so unfair that people that serve you their whole life are going through this. And I think that the reason why I question it is because I didn't have tools. I'm new to all of this. No one in our families, in either family, had gone through it. So it's like, we're given this and we don't know what to, like, we're judged if we're doing the right thing. We're judged if we're not doing the right thing. We're judged as parents in general. So it was very hard. Like, and then you're still serving in church. And honestly, all they tell you is, like, keep believing, but it's so hard to keep believing when you don't see it. Mm-hmm. But even though in your heart you're like, well, I'm not going to stop believing that God's going to do something.
Yeah.
It's really hard to believe those words when you're living it.
Man, it's one of my friends. I know you guys remember Waffle. Waffle would always say, man, this is some high caliber stuff, because you know, I was getting very emotional with things that you were saying, things that you guys have gone through, because it's like I can almost put myself in that position and just really feel what you guys have gone through. And it's like, it's tough, man. It's tough. Like, it's just very difficult to explain. Like, what I'm trying to get to is, like, I've been in that spot, Yari, where people are like, you know, we're praying for you. Tú nomás échale ganas. And it's like, I know that's so easy to say, yeah, But when you're living it, like, I know the feeling, Yari, of like, you're in church and you're trying your best and then you're leaving and they say, nomás échale ganas. But I also know the feeling of walking and then you close that car door and you're just like back to reality. Mm-hmm. Like, I literally just left church 5 seconds ago, but now I have to sit back into this because you're the only one that's living your life, not them. They get to, and at least for me, I would be like, now, ustedes bonitos, you guys are going to go back to your own home and you guys are fine. There's no, you guys don't have to deal with what I have to deal with. And I get it. But I do hear, like, I see tears, I see sadness, I see all this. But I also hear revelation. I also hear God finding a way when there was, when it felt like there was no way. I also hear, like, God showing you the things that really matter in life. Yes, work hard. I've never been opposed to working hard. I've never been opposed to leveling up, stack money up, stack vacations, houses, cars. Go for the things that your heart wants and desires. Go for it. But always remember the core foundation of what matters in this world, which is your family. And I think that to a certain degree, I thank God that he has been able to teach you guys that, to say, you know what? I'm going to shoot for those things, but man, I'm so blessed with my life. What? Blessed? What are you talking about? Yeah, I'm so blessed. For what the world thinks is like, no, that's not blessed. That's not, no. God gave me exactly, and he knows why, and I'm still believing in the miracle. Why not? God can do it. God can do it. Thank you guys for sharing the story. Thank you for being vulnerable. Thank you for showing people, like, look, we're Christians, we're believers, but we also go through it. We're not perfect. We make mistakes. We say bad words. We don't believe in God sometimes. We do believe in him sometimes. We sometimes don't believe in certain things. It's not like I'm because the truth is, it's okay to say, look, it's not that I'm rejecting my kids and I don't love them, but at that moment, I did feel upset with God. I feel like that sometimes, guys. Like, there is times where I'm like, man, God, I had too many. Like, it's four of them. It's too many. Like, and then I leave to go do something by myself, and quickly my spirit is like, you miss them though, huh? And I'm like, damn, I do. But it's like, I can't wait to get away from them because I do need the break too.
Yeah.
It's like a bittersweet, right? But then God shows you, like, man, at the end of the day, like, it's the love of God that shows you, like, that's because God gave his son, right? And that's how much he loved his, like, imagine giving up your son and having him crucified. We don't have to go through that where Max has to be crucified, where any of my kids have to be crucified. But that pain to see them go through something like that, it just, I'm glad that God took care of that burden so that we can take care of ours, which is like, let's handle the business that we have in front of us. Guys, it's been a little bit over an hour. And I want to just say from the bottom of my heart, thank you guys so much for coming. Thank you guys for sharing your stories. I know we can go deeper into other stuff. Like, one day I would really like to go individual because I know you guys are married, but man, we got to fix things individually. But just from the bottom of my heart, thank you. And one thing I am going to do as well is I'm going to put on the screen right now any questions, comments that you guys might have for Luis and Yari. Anything that you guys, maybe I didn't ask, or you guys are going through something similar that you guys are like, I wonder how they handled this situation. Shoot it over. Send the question. Write it on the comment. I have my email address. I'm also going to put their social medias. Actually, before, how can people find you guys when it comes to social medias? What are your guys' ats?
She's the more social media one.
Because of her hairstylist, yeah, and all this stuff.
My business. It's Yours Truly by Yari.
Yeah, and I'll add it there, guys. And Luis?
Mine is L_Aguilar23.
Yeah, and I'll have them there, guys. So if you guys even want to ask them directly, go for it. But if you guys want to add it here and then I can run it back to them, more than happy. Guys, I want to say there's always going to be a way out. I don't ever want you guys to feel like there's just no hope. That's a lie of the enemy, and it belongs in the pit of hell. And I know it sounds so harsh that I'm saying it so direct, But it's because that's the lie that he really wants us to believe, that there's no way out. And that's a lie. Thank you guys so much. Thank you guys for tuning in. I hope it blessed you. I'll see you guys next week.